The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
I go by the name of Jah Doctrine. If there's anything that I got to say to you as you embark on this mission with me, is open up your mind, open up your heart, and get free. I declare war. Marcus Garvey, tell me not to fear y'all. I fear no man, but yes, I fear God. Beat us to the ground, but not one tear for cheer y'all. Could we bring it to them all year long? Punks back like a ball, so my fun stack y'all. Left it up to them, I love none at all. I'm man too smart, so your plans get stalled. Blaze up the herb, man, stretch your mental. It's detrimental. No one man thoughts can represent all. Talk to the youth. They get potential. Regional war turned continental. All heads, the government, even the president fall. Don't forget me and I won't forget y'all. Some of them just care on life, they already met God. Hope so, they the only thing I know to help y'all. Just how Moses part the Red Sea. That's how pagan, hard one get we. Against each other, they one set we. Yet we bind together to get free. Bind together, then we'll get free. Bind together, then we'll get free. Bind together, just to get free. Bind together,
well if you want to be free, you better know you're still living slavery. Working 9 to 5 while the government they hide. You've been over and to ride and then ask for your pride. When you can't get a loan for a home, but you can for a car, but not for a business. That's ain't story time, I just saying what a witness. We living on the hit list, like children crossing highways in the ghetto. The maker of our leaders is Geppetto. The more they lie, the more their bellies will grow. So now it's time to let go and hold to your freedom, cause you really don't need them. And the more you hold on, the more you're gon' feed them. Get free through the black unity, bring back community. So we stop losing, we find together and stay light like a feather. Staying still in the hurricane weather, so the scales stay balanced, our souls stay atone. Learn to get free or you'll never be at home.
That's how Moses part the Red Sea. That's how pagan hard one.
And welcome, welcome, welcome. Get free! Emancipation Day is here! My name is Kahun Anku Sarah, also known as Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas III. Welcome to Guardian Radio Today. Welcome to Guardian Radio Today. I pray that you all are staying cool on this hot Emancipation Day. Today we want to talk Emancipation Day. We want to, of course, touch on some things that I'm seeing in the news, particularly around Fox Hill Day. This Emancipation Day rush. But before we dive into that, I want to just make sure that the callers that will be calling in know that they can call in at 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, of course. In the family of violence, 242-300-5720. Our text line, powered by BTC, is open. And you can reach out to us by text, 422-4796, 422-4796. Of course, for those who aren't near radio, if you're near the internet, GuardianTalkRadio.com is streaming live right now. And then, of course, Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or BTC Flow, channel 612. All for you here on Guardian Radio, 96.9. Fresh news, smart talk all day. I want to set the table just a bit. Emancipation Day. What does Emancipation Day mean to us as Bahamians? I'm sure the conversation will be had all day. As it's already started, and I've been enjoying the shows thus far. I came across some information that I want to share with the listeners today. And this, first of all, I want to make you aware, if you're not already aware of it, a wonderful site called Bahamianology.com. Bahamianology.com. It's really, really full of juicy information, juicy facts. And I didn't know that Emancipation Day wasn't always called Emancipation Day. That's right, Emancipation Day was not always called Emancipation Day. It used to just be called 1st of August. They just called it 1st of August, right? So I'm going to read a little bit from this article on Bahamianology.com. 1st of August eventually became Emancipation Day, all right? The anniversary of the abolition of slavery in the Bahamas was originally called the 1st of August. Not Emancipation Day, the 1st of August. It would be a few decades before it was reimagined into what is now known as Emancipation Day. So, of course, 1834, then we have an apprenticeship of 4 to 6 years. So by 1838 is when they officially say we were emancipated. But we're still not calling it Emancipation Day yet, right? We're still not calling it Emancipation Day yet. This site has all of the articles from places such as the Nassau Guardian. So if you have a chance, you can actually look up some of these articles. The Nassau Guardian, Saturday, August 2nd, 1851. Nassau Guardian, August 2nd, 1854. These are different articles that you can read. But it goes on to say, 1st of August passed with little fanfare and usual observances in the year of 1867. So initially, I don't know what they were calling it. They weren't even calling it 1st of August, right? That didn't come in 67. So this is right after the Americans are emancipated in 1865, or 2 years after the Americans, as they're known today, because we all Africans that were dropped off at different ports. But 1865, you have our brothers and sisters in what becomes America being emancipated. And in 1867, there's 1st of August. Now, 1st of August, they say it passes with little fanfare. All right, so what? You know, it ain't changing my circumstances, right? So I really necessarily can celebrate it. Most blacks went about their work day as usual, right? So kind of like how today is. Of course, we're going to celebrate August Monday, but even though today is Emancipation Day, hey, we went to work, right? Do what you got to do, right? The modern descriptive Emancipation Day would not be used for a few decades after 1834, which is the abolition of slavery, and 1838, which is the official end of apprenticeship. Now, this apprenticeship is something that we're going to talk about too a little bit, because that always was weird to me as a child. It's like, yeah, you free, but you aren't really free. You know, like we got to teach you how to be free. That's what we were taught, but it's a little bit more than that. It's a little bit more than that, right? The change from a genteel 1st of August to a more vibrantly descriptive Emancipation Day may have been spurred on by the growing community on New Providence of liberated Africans of various tribal affiliations who were freed from captured slave ships, most settling on the capital island. So in 1807... the British, they pass a law where you cannot move slaves, as we were called. We were little property. You can move slaves on the water, right? If you were caught moving slaves on the water, then the boat that had these slaves, they would free the slaves to the nearest colony. Right, they would free them to the nearest colony. And so this article is saying that a lot of these liberated Africans were those who were a part of being freed because of the illegal trafficking of slaves. So slavery didn't end, but you couldn't traffic the slaves, right? But in any event, You had various tribal affiliations who were freed from captured slave ships, most settling on the capital island. All right. So my family, on my father's side, Britton Aeneas and his sister, Amelia, they were taken out of what is now called Nigeria. It wasn't called Nigeria when they were snatched out of the Oyo Empire. But in any event, in the 1830s, my family was, on my father's side, is one of the families that would have been, quote-unquote, liberated. That's a whole, I guess, another aspect of this discussion that we're going to have, because you're disoriented. You don't know the language. You're not practicing your way of life. The food is different, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, yeah, okay, liberated. But yeah, so you had the Yoruba, all right, which my family is Yoruba. And technically, all of these are my family because we all mix up, right? But Yoruba, you had Congo, you had Igba tribes in Nassau. And they began to separate themselves into distinctively named societies in order to preserve their ancestral identity and social hierarchy within the Black Bahamian community. So we had this African identity, all right, in before the 1900s. Even my grandfather, in the book, Let the Church Roll On, he talked about how his elders were proud to say that they were Yoruba, all right, or they were Congo, right, or they were Igbo, or whatever tribal identity they ultimately had coming out of Africa, they ultimately identified with it. And of course, we've lost that today, right? We don't even want to call ourselves Africans. We think there's some distinct difference between Bahamians and Black Bahamians. And Africans, which, again, is another element to the conversation, all right? By Emancipation Day of 1880, a number of Black Bahamians had separated themselves along their ancestral lines. Blacks, and this word blacks, I heard Sister Erin Green talking about it earlier, but this idea of being Black is another identity that kind of disconnects us from our tribal identity. But it says, Blacks in particular, those descendants of liberated Africans, had formed themselves into Yoruba, Igbo, Congo, Nangobar groupings, and social societies. So this is where your friendly societies come in, right? We'll talk a little bit about that too. The friendly, some people just refer to them as burial societies, right? But these friendly societies was our way of finding some type of financial stability, social stability, liberated stability, right? We used our money communally to assist each other, all right? And so this is 1880, right? Remember, 1838, we're coming out of apprenticeship. 1834 is emancipation. 1838. They say we're coming out of apprenticeship. This is by 1880. They're recognizing or documenting these friendly societies, all right? As opportunities for Blacks in politics, education, business, and new professions began to expand in the Bahamas, many sought to separate and distinguish themselves. So here's my take on all of this. We're going to put down our identity in order to integrate into the colony. This has been slowly happening from then to now. We're going to put down our Yoruba. We're going to put down our Igbo. We're going to put down our Congo. We're going to put down our Nangobar. We're going to put down our identity because we don't feel that that really assists us in politics. It doesn't assist us in education. It doesn't assist us in business. It doesn't assist us in new professions. And so we begin to put down this identity. And then, of course, later on, we just pick up Bahamian, right? Which is nothing wrong with being Bahamian. I love being Bahamian. I'm proud to be a Bahamian. But I understand that Bahamas is the fruit, not the root. Without the fruit dies. And this is what we're seeing taking place in our country today. the fruit has been disconnected from the root, and it's now infested with worms. It's now decaying. You understand? But let's continue on. This is from Bahamianology.com, and I'm grateful for the writers and those who are responsible for putting this website together. It really just gives you a good peek into to yesteryear, right? But we're talking Emancipation Day, all right? And other things. We won't only talk about this, but I just wanted to start the show with this, and then I want to bring in some other elements of what's taking place around Emancipation Day, right? In those first decades on, from the end of slavery in 1834 and apprenticeship in 1838, acknowledgement of this important day for blacks in the Bahamas was set in a decidedly, and this is a new word, I never heard this word before, pietistic, P-I-E-T-I-S-T-I-C, pietistic, reverential, and admonishing tone. So it was solemn, right? Remembering one's duty to God, sovereign, and country. So I just want us, and let me finish the sentence before I say what I say. So the way we were celebrating Emancipation Day, it was this reverential, admonishing tone, or pietistic tone. I love learning new words, so thank you all for teaching me a new word, Bahamianology.com, right? Remembering one's duty to God. Now, that's complicated when what you understood was God, or what you understood God to be, coming out of Yoruba land, coming out of Congo land, Nango land, wasn't the same as what the British, what your colonizers understood. So they talk about remembering one's duty to God. Who's God? Because this is still what we're up against today. Who's God? Right? Remembering one's duty to sovereign. So right now, the sovereign is King Charles. Right? It used to be Elizabeth II. Right? And then after that, you remember one's duty to the country. So even today, as our political leaders, take the oath of office, they're pledging allegiance to the crown, to the heirs, to the successors forevermore. They don't swear to us. They ask us for our vote, right? And then I hear all of the, yeah, ceremonial, blah, blah, blah. I don't buy that, because it does something to us psychologically to hear that and to say that. So I'm willing to say that's not just ceremonial. If it's just ceremonial, don't do it when you're supposed to be swearing to the Bahamian people or doing the business of the Bahamian people, right? But this was a pious, this was a solemn tone. So again, Emancipation Day, as we call it today, all right, 1834, then you had the end of apprenticeship, 1838. I want us to be aware of something, that the colonists, even though they're saying slavery is over, they don't take their churches back to England with them. They don't take their schools back to England with them. They don't take their government or their system of government, the Westminster system, back with them. They obviously don't take their language back with them. We're speaking English today because we were a part of an English colony, or a part of an English colony, depending on who you talk to, right? They don't take their social norms back with them. They don't take their dress codes back with them. They don't take their way of thinking back with them. So even though, yes, on paper, we've been physically freed, we don't have the physical chains on, we're still under mental slavery. What does that mean? What does that look like? Because if you're celebrating emancipation, but you're remembering your duty to God, and your duty to God is the colonial God, right? How do you know? It's tied right to the sovereign, right? The person that is over the colonists, the king, the queen, whoever it is, right? Right now is the king. And then you can worry about your duty to your country, right? Again, this is coming from behemonology.com, talking about the fact that Emancipation Day was not always considered or known as Emancipation Day. It's something I think we should all know, right? It later becomes the 1st of August, 1867, the 1st of August. So the 1st of August observations were organized by the Friendly Societies. Again, these Friendly Societies are those liberated Africans who still identify as Yoruba, as Congo, as Nango, etc., right? Igbo, right? The 1st of August observations were organized by the Friendly Societies and local church organizations. Representatives of the Bahama Eastern District and Grantstown Friendly would prepare a collective address. So this is how they formally celebrated the 1st of August before it was Emancipation Day, right? So they would prepare a collective address, right? They agree on what the address is going to be about. They deliver the address. This address would be elegantly handwritten for presentation to the governor on the steps of Government House. Okay. A procession would begin at the public buildings in the town square near what is now the House of Assembly on Bay Street. Right, a procession of people would then make their way to Christ Church to hear a sermon and then to Government House to be greeted by the governor. So this is how we would celebrate 1st of August, right? The Friendly Societies, right? And again, these on behemonology.com, they have a NASA Guardian article from August 1st of 1849 discussing Bahamian blacks asked for equal treatment afforded to other British subjects traveling abroad in 1st of August address to Governor John Gregory in 1849. All right, so this cry for equality is nothing new, right? They said freedoms for liberated blacks in the Bahamas stopped at the border, they say, right? Blacks traveling outside of the British West Indies, in particular to America, despite their legal liberated status, were at risk of being denied entry. Sound like today, right? They were at risk of being denied entry. If allowed to enter, they could be held or deported. Wow. Or worse, they were at risk of being captured by the unscrupulous to be sold into slavery. Because remember, even though we had received emancipation in this particular colony in 1834 and then into 1838 in America, that doesn't happen until 1865. So you go to America, they don't care that you came from a British colony. They don't care what the British thought about you. They could put you back in slavery. All right. And then they go through a particular case where it actually did happen to a person, Manuel Pereira. Right. Manuel Pereira, a colored man seized from a British ship in distress, which had put into Charleston, South Carolina. And it highlighted the risks blacks took in traveling outside free states and countries. All right. This is an article in the NASA Guardian, August 4th, 1852. All right. This article goes on. Despite these known risks, in the formal address presented to Governor John Gregory of 1st August, 1849, James Nabby, I don't know if you related to this, to the sprinter. Anyway, James Nabby, Hamlet Carmichael, William Roach, Anthony Stewart, Peter McNaughton, Joseph S. Tatnall, and John Cypher, representatives of the Friendly Societies, beseeched Her Majesty Queen Victoria to intercede on their behalf. When Governor John Gregory responded to the 1849 1st of August address, he used a manner akin to that of a benevolent father speaking to his children. So now this ties into your Pop Simonettes. This ties into, you know, Penland, they referred to him as Moses. This ties into Papa Ingram, right? Who was the second prime minister of the Bahamas, right? This idea of a father speaking to his children, like all fathers, and I'm coming to you right now, caller, right? This father, Governor Gregory, extolled the high virtues and the harsh facts to the children, this fatherly type political persona came to enthrall the imagination of the black masses. So this is where it's coming from. Oddly enough, it became an enduring one, which would be reflected in the colloquial names of those who I just talked about, right? So, 1st of August was what it was originally called, or eventually called, and then Emancipation Day. I'm going to pause there for a second. Let's take some calls. Let's take some texts. Caller, you're on Guardian Radio today. How you doing today? Happy Emancipation Day.
I am doing great. How are you, Uncle?
I am well. Thanks for the call.
That is wonderful. I have a question.
Sure.
When are we going to get rid of the monarchy?
You mean like Barbados?
Pardon me?
You mean like Barbados? Become a republic?
Why do we have to spare to these people? That's why I don't get.
Mm-hmm. Do you think enough?
What is that about?
Right.
I mean, who are they so? I'll be able to spare to them.
I agree.
It's crazy to me.
Right. But do you think enough Bahamians want that?
Pardon me?
Do you think enough Bahamians want that?
Well, they don't want it because they're brainwashed. When you're brainwashed, that's what happens.
Yeah. So you think we just comfortable swearing to the king or the queen? And
we are very comfortable with it. Right. But I am not, because right. I'm not brainwashed.
Right. Right. So let
That's
me.
That's crazy.
So I'm following you. I'm following you. But let me ask you this: What do you feel, or how do you feel, us getting rid of the monarchy or becoming a republic? How do you feel that would make us better as a country?
Whether we get rid of it or keep it or whatever, we still don't need them. We need
right.
to try and strive for ourselves. Why are we depending on these people? It's like we're comfortable in our oppression.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So do you think if tomorrow when we hear, hey, we a republic, we ain't swearing to the king or the queen forever.
We don't have to swear to nobody. That's just it. Just get rid of the swearing. What
right.
you got to swear to them for? That's
right.
my problem.
So my question though is, what will be the next step for Bahamian people?
Carry on smartly. What you talking about?
No, I understand where you're coming from. You know, I just want to seed in the minds of the listeners and the people who may feel exactly like we do, right? The work that it's going to take.
What kind of work? You're just getting rid of the people, not swearing to them. That's it.
But that's it, though. But we can just keep everything the same.
Get rid of the monarchy,
right?
Please.
Okay, I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that.
And then, get rid of it. That's it.
Then after that. Then after
what
that.
What do you mean after that? After that what?
Let me tell you why.
What needs to be done? What needs to be done?
Let me tell you why I'm saying what I'm saying, right? Claretta Scott King, Martin Luther King's wife, right? She made a comment. She said, freedom is not won outright. She said, each generation must earn its freedom. I'm paraphrasing.
Asking anybody for freedom implies it's theirs to give.
Listen to what I said now. I didn't say ask nobody. She said, freedom is not won. I mean, you fought for it. You won it. It's yours, right? But she said, each generation has to earn their freedom. We can't just lean on the freedom of our foreparents. We got to now figure out what is it that we got to fight for in this generation to keep that freedom.
Why you have to fight? Freedom is their birthright.
When I say fight, I mean figuratively. When I say fight, I mean you gotta actually
freedom
gotta be mindful.
Is your birthright.
But if you don't know
ask for that.
But if you don't know, imagine you born and you have land and you have a trust, but you was never taught about it. You would never seek to access the trust, you would never seek to access the land. You would just live like everybody else, not knowing that you had access to it. So, yes, it is a birthright. But what's the responsibility now of our people in learning about the birthright and exercising the freedom? Huh?
We have to teach our people the right
well,
thing.
But that's what we're doing today.
We're brainwashed.
I appreciate the call, my sister.
All right.
I recognize the voice. Thanks for calling, man.
All right.
323-6232-325-4316-325-4259. Of course, in the family of violence, you can reach out 242-300-5720. Our text line, powered by BTC, 422-4796. Kahuna Nkusara with you today, Guardian Radio Live. I think we're going to run to a break, Kermit. Let's run to a break and be back right after this, talking Emancipation Day, and we got some other nuggets to throw at you. Stay tuned.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio today. I'm your host, Kahuna Nkusara. Happy to be with you on an Emancipation Day. I think this might be my first time on radio for Emancipation Day, like Aaron. Let me just run to a couple of texts, and then we're going to run to the phone lines. Let's see here. So why don't we change who we swear to? Should be easy, eh? We've seen Barbados do it. I know Jamaica is looking like they may do the same thing. How easy it is, I think it's really as easy as the will of the people, right? If the people understand the importance of it or actually want to do it, then that's one thing. But if we just floating through, it makes no difference. We're going to just keep doing the same things we're doing now, whether we're a public or not. This next text says, good day. I don't think we are brainwashed or comfortable. We are ignorant. We need to educate ourselves, and our leaders love us in our ignorance. That way they can play us against us, red versus gold. I wish you right there, Dexter. Let's see. Good day, talk show host. The Bahamas is a very rich country, and we can stand as the words of our national anthem of the Bahamas. We need true independence of the Bahamian people to be successful and great as a black nation. Yes, we can do it. Bahamas, Sila. All right? This is from Grand Bahama. Grand Bahama, shout out to you. Let's run to the phone lines. Guardian Radio Today. Call you or on Guardian Radio Today.
Yeah, give thanks and praises to the most omnipotent creator of all flesh, you know?
Yes, my brother. 15.
All living things. Now, you know, of course we recognize the caller. I love the other texter too, the Sila guy, whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, ignorance, you know, I mean, ignorance and brainwashing, they interface with one another.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're brainwashed because of your ignorance, because if you know the truth, it will set you free mentally. But if the truth comes out, you could send me to jail. So mm-hmm. It's obviously in a spiritual context, right, Uncle?
Yeah.
As it relates to the truth. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And so apparently, all of our stained brain colonial masters have created disasters in the fact that they have adhered to the colonial system for so long until they can't deviate. It's like a Stockholm syndrome, mm-hmm. right? If you're here in Rome,
yeah.
You sure they look at you, right?
Yeah.
You're not welcome in Rome. Now, for me, I understand what the lady is saying, because we are swearing allegiance and we are jumping up and down. Independence is good, but independence is better. So because of that, then you could imagine Master wallowing and laughing and saying they're celebrating, but they're not really celebrating.
Yeah.
And what they're celebrating. And so the fact that we're still swearing and the fact that we had to gain independence that we should have never had, and we should have never had to be freed, right?
Mm.
And if you was to read one or two quotations from Charles Darwin, right, as it relates to the Negro and the civilized races of man will replace the savage races, mm-hmm. and then there will be some gap as between like the Negro and the baboon or whatever. I can't remember the verbatim, but I could always say it.
Yeah.
Okay, then people will wake up to what Kressling and Ashford Crazy and all these people are trying to teach us. Now, what sickens me, right,
mm-hmm.
really and truly, that we as a people, when we hear the truth, we don't know it. Mm-hmm. And that's what's frightening for me. So we have followed master right down to the T, and the fact that even if a foreigner comes into our country, we don't even follow master and say, well, let them swear allegiance to us. So this is what you swear allegiance to the Queen, but you don't want people coming into your country to swear allegiance to your country to big you up.
Mm.
Even as Africa, most of us will go to Europe, just make me chew up, before we go to Africa, because that's just the way of being bred and misled, and spoon-fed, all of this garbage that they're giving us. But I sent a text to Lang, not even realized that my phone was out of minutes because my landline, the wire pops. I just realized it yesterday. So I wanted to engage Lang with this independence thing. He stressed, of course, there's a difference between interdependence and independence. But what I'm saying is, whilst I wanted to speak with Lang because Lang was in politics, so he knows what he's saying as it relates to us being independent politically to make decisions. But he said we are free to make our own decisions, which may be correct. So I wanted to get that in there. But the reason why some of the callers and people are saying we're not independent is because of the influence of non-governmental entities in coercing and creating a geopolitical conformity.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the problem lies. I'd like you to comment, and I would call Lang today and let him comment on that, because even though he said we are free to make our decisions, which may be correct, and I probably agree with him because I've never sat in politics, but we pay the price for not conforming. So the geopolitical conformity leads people to believe that we're not independent. And that's just great. Give thanks. Comment.
Yes, yes, my brother, and I'm sure whenever you do engage Mr. Lang, that would be a riveting conversation, you know. The reality of independent countries, right, or independent reality, it's a state of mind, right? If everything that, so let me go back and say what I said earlier, right? After Emancipation Day, right, or what eventually becomes Emancipation Day, right? August 1st, 1834. Then you have apprenticeship, which we're going to talk about a little bit too, ending in 1838. These colonists do not move their churches, do not move their schools, do not move their dress code, do not move their language. And so ultimately, they did not move their thinking. So if they are the ones defining for us what independence is, if they are the ones defining for us what freedom is, then clearly we are not free in and of ourselves. We are free to do whatever this new society that's being built allows us to do. Okay, we don't hold the economic wealth in our country, right? And this is why this call for reparations. I'm sorry, I missed out on the conversation at the Fox Hill Community Center last evening with Dr. Naomi Hall and others. I was at the Gombe event. Couldn't be at two places at once. But this conversation of reparations is a continuation of the conversation of emancipation. And by reparations, are we talking about everybody just going to get a check? No. That's first of all, the number. They can't write that number down. They can't calculate that number. You understand? We're talking about centuries of being disenfranchised, centuries of having our labor used to build what they're calling the first world. Britain has underdeveloped the Caribbean, right? So Hilary Beckel talks about this in his book entitled just that, how Britain underdeveloped the Caribbean, similar to what Walter Rodney talked about, how Europe underdeveloped Africa, right? But I want to share a little bit about this idea of reparations, because this apprenticeship was more of a census to determine the wealth that these slave masters were going to be losing. So in 1834, they can't just cut off their money. They got to figure out, if I stop enslaving you, right? If I now listen to Wilberforce in the Parliament over in UK, and I just cut all ties with my colony, I ain't gonna make no money. They say each slave represented about 6 jobs. I'm going to read the article that gives some of these numbers. Each slave represented about 6 jobs. So if I cut ties with my colonies, what's going to happen to my jobs, right? Before we get there, right, this is an article from September 16, 2022. This is a PBS article, right? What to know about calls for reparations for Britain's legacy of slavery in the Caribbean. The death of Britain's Queen Elizabeth II has set off a period of public mourning and celebrations of life. But even as many lauded Elizabeth for her 70-year reign, for some, including those from Britain's former colonies, it was a fresh reminder of the country's imperial past. In the last 2 years, remember now, this is back in 2022. This article was written September 16, 2022. In the last 2 years, 2 former British colonies in the Caribbean's efforts to further separate themselves from Great Britain, all right, moves that have been under consideration for decades before. So some of our callers have been talking about not swearing to the king or the queen, right? Last year, in this article, it says Barbados officially removed Elizabeth as head of state, becoming a republic. In a move that was partly motivated to create a formal break with its colonial past. Jamaica has indicated it may do the same. During official visits to these countries, members of the royal family had expressed regret for Britain's role in the slave trade. I'm sorry, but I regret it. I come in, I thief all your stuff, I rape your wife, I drink the Kool-Aid, I kick your dog. I'm sorry, I regret it. You know? On a visit to Barbados in November of 2021, King Charles III, who was then Prince Charles, spoke of the appalling atrocity of slavery which forever stains our history. But we ain't sorry. We regret it. There were slave owners and slave plantation owners in Queen Elizabeth II's family, said David Scott, a professor of anthropology at Columbia University. There's a deep connection between the monarchy and slaving in the British Caribbean. This is PBS, this ain't me. Over the course of almost 2 centuries, the British Empire colonized islands in the Caribbean and transformed them into plantations labored by over 2 million enslaved Africans. While Charles and his son, Prince William, have acknowledged the wrongs of slavery, critics have said not enough has been done by either the royal family or the British government in the form of reparations or restitution. The fact, this is a quote, the fact that the British state and the Queen was the sovereign of the state has consistently refused to make any gesture toward apology, restitution, much less compensation or reparation in respect of slavery, has been a deeply wounding matter for Jamaicans, Scott said. Here's what you need to know about calls for reparations from Jamaica, Barbados, and other Caribbean nations. The question is, why are the British being asked to make reparations? The reason is history, said Dobreen Omardi, the vice chairman of the Caribbean Community Reparations Commission, CARICOM, right? During the 1600s and 1700s, England's colonies produced sugar, tobacco, and cotton. To do this, the British brought indentured servants and eventually enslaved Africans to work the fields and mills, turning the colony production centers. Scott said England's government and the monarchy had been deeply involved in the creation of the transatlantic slave trade. This is the people we swear to now. This is the people we swear to. All right? This is the people we swear to. In the 16th century, Queen Elizabeth I was herself involved in the chartering of one of the first major ships for slaving. Luke Moffett, a researcher at Queen's University, explained that on top of supporting the country's slave trade, the monarchy owned their own companies and plantations that used the labor of enslaved Africans. In the 1800s, the British Empire began to dismantle the institution of slavery, eventually freeing slaves in the Caribbean in the 1830s, which we just talked about. Ruled by the British, and plantation economies continued into the 20th century. So they didn't take their economy with them. They didn't take their plantation and economics with them. It's still here. Since the period of abolition, Caribbean nations have continued to deal with poverty and struggle to diversify their economy. Sound familiar? And with many depending on tourism for foreign investment. This is a PBS article. Britain continued to rule these islands until 1962 when Jamaica and Trinidad and Tobago led the way with national independence, said Matthew Smith, professor of history at University College London. The sequel to that history of repression and disavowal has been poverty and uneven progress. So after emancipation, what have we had? Poverty and uneven progress. So calls consider this wide story and its micro-level consequences in their activism, Smith said. Coming to you right now, Carla. There's no real ownership of responsibility. So there is recognition that what happened in the past was bad, but we're not responsible now, said Moffat. It's a way of separating the monarchy of British government from the past. Let's run to the caller, and then we're going to run to some text. This is a PBS article. We're talking about Emancipation Day, what was called 1st of August, something I just learned from behemonology.com. But let's run to the caller. Caller, you're on Guardian Radio today.
Good day, this is Doc in the Waste Along, you brother uncle.
Namaste, Elder.
Namaste.
How you doing?
I'm holding, thank God. Fighting one little problem around here in Spence Street.
Oh.
But, you know, I overcome slow Christ.
Yes, sir.
But what I want to ask you, right, here it is. What was the population of the mulatto people, the brown people, the dark people at that time, and why has nobody retaliated?
So what time exactly are you talking about? Because what happened is when the loyalists, after the War of Independence, around 1783, you have these loyalists come in, and you have what's called black loyalists. Dr. Christopher Curry writes about this. And the population of liberated Africans begins to increase. I don't have the exact number in front of me. I'll read it. It's in one of these articles.
So let me ask you something.
Go ahead.
So the liberated Africans, where were they at that time?
Well, you had places like Beantown, Gambia, Adelaide, Fox Hill, right? This is where the liberated Africans settled and continue to settle today in many instances, whether they know it or not.
So I mean, how come they just lay down and settle for all of that? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Well, that's the narrative, but I don't have time to touch everything today, right? But there has been a lot of pushback. At the 100th year anniversary of what we call Emancipation Day, you had a lot of pushback to the point where the British had to send in their armies to put down some of the fights that was taking place across their colonies, right? But we'll touch more on it on this show, but like I say, there's a lot we want to touch on. But thank you for calling, Elder. We're going to run to a break here on Guardian Radio today. We're going to touch some text, take some more of your phone calls. And then one final, what's going on with Fox Hill Day, man? Genesis will not kneel. I want to know what's going on. All right, we're going to go through some of these articles, and then we can hit the Guardian newspaper. My name is Calhoun Uncle Sarah. Back after this.
Guardian Radio, 96.5, GuardianTalkRadio.com, and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.